talks a lot about the importance of the scale in order to be aware about whose vision is in it. To change this.
Who does? Who talks about this?
Karen Barad.
Oh, Karen Barad.
That is a measure of nothingness. Because it's, I mean, if we are trying to establish kind of a relation with aging companions, and this try to shift from anthropocentrism to post-anthropocentric or beyond human exceptionalism, the question of the scale is important. If we are referring to measurements,
I agree.
So probably, I mean, we could say, or we could refer to adventurous measurements if we are going to be aware of the scale.
Mm-hmm. And how would you relate that to our research objects, so vibration or?
For example, we were working on that when we organized the workshop with Cara in Barcelona. We were working with this text, What is the Measure of Nothingness, and On Touching, both from Barat, while we were building the very low frequency radio receptors and the antennas. And it's a way.
So what is exactly the scale?
The scale is to shift, because, I mean, you are perceiving sounds, well, frequencies in this case, that you are not able to perceive in a, let's say, I don't want to use normal, but in a regular condition.
Or in a human scale.
Yeah. So you are shifting, in a way, the scale, because you are perceiving things that are there, but you can't perceive without these
devices.
Critical translation devices, in a way.
Which also brings back the senses.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
sure,
you then have the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
You know, because yesterday also I was like, I came back home, I was like, okay, what we are going to do in order to avoid to perpetuate this split in between theory and practice? Because it's something that it's quite important to me, to thinking within the practice, from making, thinking by doing.
Yes, for
like,
me too.
Yeah, because if not, I feel myself like coming from a theoretical background, imposing meaning-making structures to practices, even if they are artistic or not. I'm not really worried about that, but how can we work on that, like thinking by doing, without this kind of position.
You're combining thinking and practice.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that was also a little bit the idea that we would start with words and then move on to, or have a break. Is that?
Slow down.
Slow down, and then just whatever we put in here this in the past half hour, three quarters of an hour, I've not a good sense of time, but we'll settle and something will pop up. Be it Dostoevsky, Tada, or scale.
I'm interested in the micro scale, but the low frequencies, it's bigger than what we can perceive. It's so our ears cannot, what's it called, perceive the vibration.
Yeah.
But I would like to do some testing with micro sounds, but depending on the devices, to go to a certain...
But is it that we don't perceive them physically, or our brain doesn't process them?
I think it's the ear.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's a vibration of our internal ear that cannot perceive the longer waves.
But you feel it in your body, though, lower frequencies.
Yes.
With your whole body.
Yes. But
it depends also probably which kind of frequencies. Some you will feel.
Some of them resonate with us, with our internal organs, and some don't. And when it resonates, it's very bad for us, but we feel. As far as I remember.
Yeah. And I'm interested in if we could train our senses to get more sensitive for those which we are not directly, and probably it's also different that you receive it and I'm not, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's an issue. They are not.
kind of like recalibrating our perception, expanding it.
But not when we're not physical capable of it. Yeah. It's just not possible. But you can modulate it. They do it, eh?
Yeah.
Or sometimes the sounds that we cannot hear, I can not give an example, but they speed it up, for instance, so that we can hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But isn't that what we also want to experiment with? Like?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is then using, so to say, technology as a prosthesis, so to say.
Yes, yeah. Because we cannot train ourselves to hear it because it's the scale is too much, too different from us. You cannot.
I'm actually interested in how much could we train our senses. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, difficult because I can't hear what you hear and you're not that way around. But I'm.
But we are in a similar range. Eh? We are all human, so we are in a similar range.
But I still think that you
there are differences.
But I think as a trainer, I can train, hear more. But it has an end, of course. And then where can we use technology as a prosthesis to learn more about how we? So I think it's really very important to see this edge, where does the senses stop, and how far can we train perhaps each other, and where then the technology gets in to be a prosthesis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the technology always is kind of, it's more than just measurements, it's already starting to putting it in the classroom. Yeah, because it's we read the data and that's already then in zeros and ones. Mm-hmm. It's already in a technology, in a material, in a system.
Yeah, but that then also asks for use working with it.
Yeah.
And I think through working with it, results will come up.
Yeah.
We can then critically use what we've discussed to reflect, isn't this too representative, or is this opened up enough, or how can we use statistics differently? So I think that wraps it up in a certain sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back to that, of course, it goes hand in hand, but I feel the need to I want to do something with the lights and the motors and the kettles and so that seems like an interesting way, and the sounds of course.
Marie, perhaps go on with the round.
With the what? Sorry. you lost me for a few minutes. What were you saying? So
that we want to use the slow down idea now.
Now.
Yeah.
Do we finish the round or?
I thought we finished the heavy thoughts.
Ah, okay.
No, not now. Finish the round and then get hands on. Yeah, sorry.
I think it's Constanze. Or do you also want to say something?
I already.
Yeah, you said something, eh?
Do you want to say more?
No.
Or you?
Well, just the thing I read this morning, it's called the AI box experiment. And I don't know if it's related to this, what we're talking on, but I thought it's quite interesting, just generally. So it's the idea of
the AI?
Like artificial intelligence. It's the idea of having a general AI, but having it boxed in a computer, so it doesn't have any sense of the world, it can just interact with other humans, right? Like through an interface, like talking or typing, usually, right? And so the idea is, can this entity now escape to the world? Like you know, this general AI tries to get a sense of the world, tries to get a body, and kind of move out of this box. And there's apparently a group of people online who reenact these kind of scenarios, right? So one person plays the AI, and the other person plays the so-called gatekeeper, right? And I thought it's quite interesting using these techniques and tactics from like pen and paper games, like where you kind of get into a certain role, and also I thought it's quite interesting to get into the role of an artificial intelligence, because the general artificial intelligence would not differ to, you know, what we humans would perceive. It would just differ from how it's boxed or in which kind of body it is, right?
That's not, you may interfere. It's not a problem. It's also fast.
Yeah, that's basically it. And there was like a guy who had a conversation with another person, uh-huh. and he actually locked himself into his into a tiny room with like a Coca-Cola and his computer. Like he talked about his experience, basically, mm-hmm. of how it was to be a general AI, and that he actually managed to break out by making the other person feel empathic.
It's a bit like
Ex
Machina.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm also typing, so I'm lost in the nuance, but how do you envision doing that? So how could we do an experiment that is like or refers to the idea of the boxed AI?
I don't know, any suggestions?
Not yet, it will come.
I think the idea of enacting play or something like that is quite interesting. Mm. There might be something there where, I mean, whatever we create or something is going to be in a particular form, or we're going to have to compensate in the same way that this game kind of compensates for there not being a general AI, or not there not being a capability to create a general AI. So maybe there's a performative element here to what we create, mm-hmm. that ends up being something like a game, like you're saying, like the kind of paper games. Which
I think also Mariah, you also work with like role playing, right?
Yeah. One of the main differences between like humans and AI, well, one is the senses. I mean, they are usually very limited. Like, it's only the data, so it's only observing what you give it. And then the other thing is like always someone has to define what it should optimize to, like what it should, what the good result is, like, and there's different ways in which this can be done, but there's always, I mean, there's no sort of like general like unsupervised learning,
yeah.
AI yet.
There isn't even an unsupervised learning AI.
Well, it's.
There are some, but maybe not successful.
I mean, I haven't seen any that can set their own goals.
Okay.
Whereas, I mean, we can do that. I mean, we can.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is the point at which, you know, you become a singularity and you can set your goal in that sense.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking more, even more general, like not that we're going to create the AI or any kind of general AI or whatever, but whatever we do come up with in relation to the self or some kind of quantification or is going to, given the time that we've got, whatever, going to be quite incomplete in a way. So maybe there's some gaming element or role-playing element that can just connect the dots together.
And
it becomes some kind of creation, but also some kind of performance or some game or something like that.
Yeah, this is what I thought, like using role-playing as a kind of tool to, I don't know, get an idea of how things work.
That's great.
Wow. I like my role. Yes.
Okay.
So I was kind of struggling how to reflect through practice from some very practical steps on what we talked about, because it's super exciting and interesting and I can relate to that, but like, what do we do with this, especially if you have a camera on you? And I think this idea of developing the protocol, I'm still very drawn to that. And yes, what I mean by protocol is like a structure, imposed structure for interactions and thinking through the tools. But this protocol is needed, in my view, at least just to start to sign it as a starting point, and then eventually it gets kind of contaminated with ideas and things that happen first. So it's not a rigid protocol which you endorse all the time, but it's a starting point which leads to something. And so it's like, it's for going beyond the automatism and the things we take kind of for granted when we interact with companions, with technological companions. And the protocol could include, as I think was saying already yesterday, the naming, which you still probably want to work on, maybe not. But that could, if you do that, this linguistical part could feed into the protocol as well. Mm-hmm. The physicality of the interaction and of the companion self, and like the effects of being with the companion or being affected by the companion. And what I suggest to do, which is feasibly practical, is the more or less direct observational method. But like observating and recording the kind of intensive interactions and the different aspects of it. But I think it's in itself, it's not enough, because then it becomes very just representative. So what could be done is juxtaposing this and reconnecting this with other sort of planes. It could be the sound that you record with a contact mic, which we don't hear. It could be, again, somehow the protocol itself could be somehow fed back into that and made visible, or it could be something more intuitive, like if there is a role playing that could be part of this protocol of observation. So it has to fit. The protocol fits into the observational method, and the observational method fits back into the protocol.
Into the protocol.
So it's mutual feedback. The
protocol feeds into?
Into the observational method, and it fits back again into the protocol. So I think it could eventually, I'm not sure if that's going to work, but I think we could try that. It could kind of could facilitate this extended or recalibrated queer kind of perception. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Just by making things visible, sometimes it could be very powerful. Mm-hmm. And just reconnecting, juxtaposing different
this
mediums.
This discussion which we also had with the measurement, and how do we make it visible, how do we fix it, or bring it in a data set, and the protocol.
Yeah.
It makes kind of rules. How?
Yeah.
And it depends how do we
up with the protocol.
Exactly, and how do we knit it? And we could also put other parameters. So I was thinking of time. We could say, okay, the protocol has to run fast, or the protocol has to run slow, and then other spaces can appear in between. And then other things will appear in this time, which gets less or more.
It's very abstract for me.
Yeah, we can hands on, but let's continue. I think I've written it down.
I
don't
think Fanny would say it.
But let's continue.
Okay, just to round it up, what I want to do is...
It's like a lot of processes without the stuff doing the processes.
Yeah. It's us playing around with things. That's what it is, and I feel that. And then we record the sound, and we try to derive something from that.
I just
don't know what's going to happen eventually.
No,
it's like setting up rules. How do we draw stuff out? And that is kind of from there we can have an agreement how do we observe then later on stuff.
But of course somebody has to start.
Yeah.
So I could work with your voice. I would like to hear your voice doing the sort of workshop you did
we can prepare
on the first day. And I would like to record your voice to start. It's a very concrete thing. But I'm also hoping that it will be sort of relaxing. So for me, that goes to the senses. I think that if you have a good yoga lesson, it immediately vibrates. Very literally into the senses. So I'm trying to capture that also through the device, not only in real, but also the device should be able to capture it. So I will work on that.
What does the device capture?
The vibration that she's emitting, that the others are receiving. And then I also would like to queer it. That's the next step. I already did some sketches with other yoga voices and then some distortion. But the distortion could also come from the contact mics.
And so just, sorry, just to elaborate on that, this could be later when we do the slowing down, yoga, we could put the companions in. With vibration and work
but
with this.
That was my companion.
Yeah, that's one of the companions. But the other companion is the touch vibration, which that was my idea in a nutshell. Just trying to bring it all together through more accessible means of observation, visual, audio, because otherwise we will end up with the huge like a data set, and which is not. It has to be some strange statistics has to be kind of applied to statistics in a very broad way, like through editing or juxtaposing to make sense of what we
did. Yeah, and also the contact mics, they have a piezo crystal, right?
Yes.
So that's very cool because it's another companion. You know, like working with vibrations, because with vibrations they are able to generate voltage. So
Would we have to see what it can perceive? It?
Yeah, we
because
don't know,
it has its own protocol.
There's too many protocols. Okay. Do you want to continue? Have you rounded it up, Constantine? Is that
That's it.
It's not that you're not allowed to talk. No,
is it the camera put on something? It looks.
It's a little tripod.
But this thing underneath the camera.
It's
there. Is it part of the camera?
It is. It's actually. Yeah, that's a companion to my companion. It's it's an extra block that has more batteries, so it runs longer. But it also has
because
all
it's
the
same camera that I have, but it looks different.
Yeah,
that's confusing.
It changes the functionality. Actually, it's not just it can record longer videos and stuff like that, which is very functional. But also, it really is a companion. Yeah. It they when they are together, they become something else, something different.
We could also map all the protocols and companions present, but that would merely be mapping.
More protocols.
But let's... I think it's more exciting to do more experimental stuff
with the
knowledge that we have here.
Hands-on stuff.
Mapping we can always do in hindsight. Do you want to continue? I'll put your name in.
Because I was finished?
Yeah, because you got concrete and you said more concretely you want to record the voices of the participants in the group wanting to capture the vibration we emit and others receive, then also queering, distorting it. Would you like to add to that or is that...?
I would like to make it more performative, the vibration of the voice, which I hope will already be somewhere in there. And with the electroacoustic, I would try to make some haptic sounds on the ears. I'm trying to do that.
Okay.
No, the word companion comes from com, together with, and panis, Latin, bread. It means to break with bread.
Oh.
The person that you break bread with.
Oh.
Which is kind of interesting because, I don't know if we break bread with these things. Or maybe we do, but because they're part of our biology. Or they become part of our biology. There's something there.
Because we break bread, I mean, that's a crazy thing. Like dystopian, dystopian vision, so that we...
You break bread with somebody who doesn't eat with us.
No, that we are looking with this technology, what we saw at IMAG, and we are getting scared. That's a kind of dystopia what we see, and we are companions, we're breaking bread, we're breaking technology to go with the hope into the utopia, perhaps.
Yeah, so, because breaking bread has that got more of a symbolism with it, like when do you break bread with anybody, like what's the
Jesus
there's some kind of,
but he was also with the friends of the apostles,
with his companions,
with his sharing. It also means like sharing the idea, or sharing this hope, or sharing this vision of life and belief, and this
and that's what we're sharing. That's who we share our life and belief with. With our companions, with our postures.